Now let's continue where we left off, and let's understand how important the laws, the testimonies, the statutes, the commandments of God really are, and how they can help you in every way. But unless you read the Bible, unless I suggest you start by reading the Ten Commandments, and it's not hard to figure, really. Now, there are some deceptive calendars out there that place Sunday as the seventh day of the week, so they can fool people into which day is the Sabbath. But the Sabbath is Saturday. And those who have done this haven't figured out that they have a major conflict with one of the major beliefs of the false Christianity of this world, and that is that Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. Now, if you're going to call it the seventh day of the week, uh-oh, you have a problem. Now, let's come back to Psalm 19. Here's where all human beings are and why they need the Word of God and the laws, commandments, and statutes of God. Verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Now, you can't really understand them unless you know the laws of God. Oh, cleanse me from my secret faults. All those things in your mind that you alone know and God. Because God is a heart-knowing God, and he knows. And furthermore, it's all written right there, etched in your brain, just as sure as it has been backed up with a computer program. Now, here's the solution. Oh, cleanse me from my secret faults. That takes repentance. We'll talk about that in a bit. But repentance is toward God. Repentance is more than feeling sorry. We'll explain that a little later. Verse 13, and keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Now, how is that done? By the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do not let them rule over me. Do you have sins ruling over you? Do you have obsessions and passions and secret things that you do that you and God alone know? Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You are going to have no relief from the difficulties and things you're going through unless you repent to the true God, not a false Jesus, but a true Jesus and God the Father. Now let's come back to Deuteronomy 28, because it's important for us to understand that all of the things that are listed here as curses come automatically. You don't have to go out and look for them. If you sin against God, they're there. If you reject God, it's there. If you defy God, look out. You're in deep trouble. So let's see what God said here, verse 15. After telling him, you shall diligently. Let's go to the first couple verses of Deuteronomy 18, then we'll come back to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. Verse 1. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. We've been there. Now we're coming down. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if, notice the word if, that's verse 2, if you will obey the voice of the Lord your God. It says you're going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your livestock, the increase of your cattle, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket in store. How about today? With all the GMO that we have, genetically modified. Oh, yes. Men are so great that they think they can improve upon God. How's that working out? We're cursed. We're dying. We're diseased. We're obese. If I said Deuteronomy 18 and you were looking around trying to find these verses, come back to 28, verse 1, okay? Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be stricken before your face. How's that working out now? They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouses and all that you set your hand to do. And he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Did God give us this nation? Yes, he did. Did we declare a covenant with God in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States? Yes, we did. Were we warned by the forefathers that the kind of government that we have, that they created, is only for a religious people that believe in God? Yes, we were. Now then, come down to verse 15, okay? Because it's all gone wrong. And just like Jonathan Cahn said, on 9/11, the hedge of protection was removed from us. Verse 15, and it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes which I command you this day, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Comes automatic. I want you to think about, when I read these, where do you live? What city do you live in? Do you live in Chicago, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, Los Angeles, Kansas City, Seattle? Where do you live? How's your city? Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket in store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your livestock and the flocks of your sheep. Has that happened? Yes, indeed. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Like it says back there in the book of Amos, a man ran away from a bear that was about to get him, ran into a house and leaned up on a wall, and the snake bit him and he died. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon you cursing and vexation and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed. Is that happening? Yes, indeed. God warned. God has given warning. You know, it's like the man standing in the middle of the railroad tracks. Look out, the train is coming. You're kidding me. And rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings by which you have forsaken me. Now, there are some people out there trying to do some good. But we have killed over 3 million innocent children of God and ripped them out of the wombs of their mothers so they can have their sexual pleasures. Is that pleasurable? Is that right? Of course not. Because you've forsaken me. Anybody out there following God? We'll see. It's from the top to the bottom. The Lord shall make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it. You think Obamacare is going to take care of you? Oh, yes. We were told the truth when it would be cheaper or readily available to keep your own doctor. But if you're over 75, we have a death panel to assist you to end your life. Because we're good and kind people. were just like the Nazis that followed Adolf Hitler. The Lord shall strike you with lung disease and with a fever, with inflammation, extreme burning, with the sword, with the blasting, with the mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Has that happened? Yes, it has. Look at it. Look at the modern countries of Israel today. Is it happening? Yes, it is. The heavens over your head shall be bronze, the earth under your feet iron. The Lord shall make the rain of your land powder and dust. If you're online, go back and look at the pictures that happened during the great drought in the 30s. And look at the pictures of those people because of their sins. The sins of the whole country. It shall come down from heaven upon you until you are destroyed. And you shall be stricken before your enemies. And our president today or yesterday was so naively foolish or dementedly misled that he is ready to proclaim the end of the war on terror, while terrorists butcher a soldier in the United Kingdom right on the public street. And the only one to raise a hand to help him was a woman who ran over there, an older woman, and said, "What are you doing?" Everybody else so self-centered and preoccupied with themselves that they couldn't even, there were at least 40 men around her that could have run over and taken that machete away from that man, and they should have sent him quickly to Allah, who's a false god. The Lord shall make the rain of your land powder and dust, and it shall come down from the heavens upon you until you are destroyed. And the Lord shall cause you to be stricken before your enemies. Is that happening? Yes, indeed. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become abhorrent unto all the nations of the earth. And we can't understand why the nations of the world hate us and despise us and rejoice in our calamities and things. Because we've left God. We have turned from God. The so-called Christian leaders don't lead you to Christ. They take you from him. And there's no repentance. Verse 26, and your dead body shall be food to all the birds of the air, to the beast of the earth, and no man shall frighten them away. What do you think's going to happen? Think about it. Next time you turn on your light switch, what are you going to do when there's no electricity? Think about it when what's going to happen when the banking system fails. Think about it when there are riots and fighting and looting in the cities. Think about it for those of you who live in the big cities who sell truckloads and trainloads of your garbage to other states at $38 a ton. What are you going to do when there's no garbage collection? What are you going to do when all of the rats come out of the sewers in the big cities and there are more rats than people? What are you going to do? You see, now if you're really interested in understanding what God did to Jerusalem, and I think I'll give a couple of sermons on that here to follow this up, everything that he said he would do to Jerusalem twice happened because of the sins of the people. So the people that say, we're God's people. You're not God's people unless you obey him. Verse 27, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with the hemorrhoids and with the scab and with the itch of which you cannot be healed. And the Lord shall strike you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. That's only going to increase. It's not going to abate. And you shall always be pressed down and spoiled forever. No man shall save you. See, only God can save you. Obama's not going to save you. Republicans aren't going to save you. The theologians will not save you. The local governments and state governments will not save you. God alone can if you repent. Now let's come down here to verse 36. The Lord shall bring you and your king that you shall set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. Did that not happen with the kings of Judah? Yes, indeed. You can read that in the book of Jeremiah. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among the nations where the Lord shall lead you. You go out to plant the seed, you gather in little, verse 38. Same way with the vineyards. Same way with the olive trees. Verse 41. This will happen. You shall beget sons and daughters by, but you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Did that not happen in 586 B.C. and 6970 A.D.? Yes, indeed. The strangers dwelling among you shall get up above you very high. Is that not happening? Yes, it is. Why do you think they cannot pass an immigration bill? Because there's no repentance and they're going against God. And they're all muddle-headed and foolish and stupid. And until there's repentance before God, there is no solution. The stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. And he shall loan to you, and you shall not loan to him. Heard about our debts? I've given many sermons on it. It's going to happen. There may be some slight reprieve, but all of you who've got money invested in retirement, you better go online and look up what plans there are there to take it away from you, because Cyprus is going to be repeated over again. Remember what happened to MF Global? They just pocketed $1.5 billion of the investors' dollars. And the court said that was okay. Yes, indeed. China owns us, and they know it. Have you seen the ad they run every once in a while? And here's a Chinese professor talking to the students, and he was telling them a history lesson and how now we have everything they have, and now they will work for us. You want to work for Chinese? Oh, how are they going to treat you? How many civil rights are you going to have? How many grievance boards are they going to create so you can complain against them? And we've created a generation of young people that are narcissistic hedonists, and they are good candidates for captivity. Courtesy of our sinful, Satanistic educational system. Yes. Yep. You shall come down very low. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God in keeping his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. And they shall be for a sign and for a wonder upon you and your seed forever. So don't believe the myth that the 10 tribes of Israel were assimilated into the Gentiles. Not so. God said he would scatter them through many nations and not lose one seed, not one. Here's the reason. You need to think about it. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. No. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies. Going to happen. Already is happening. Which the Lord shall send against you in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. And then I gave the sermon, what's going to happen with China. I'll have some more sermons about China. And he shall bring a nation against you from far, From the end of the earth as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you shall not understand. A nation of fierce countenance who shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. They will take everything that we have. Now I know that's rather dreary. I know people do not like to hear it. Now these words were written thousands of years ago. Do you believe the word of God to be true? Do you think that God is capable of carrying these things out the way that he said? Do you think God knows what's going on? Yes, indeed. So let's look at a couple of scriptures here in the book of Isaiah. You think about it for a minute. If these words are thousands of years old, and I read them and they are true, don't get mad at me. Now let me tell you something else too. Those who have been with us for a number of years understand this. When I was in a church of God that left God and became as corrupt as the nation is today, and it's also true as it happens to the church of God, so it happens to the nation. In 1979, on the Day of Atonement, I resigned from that organization. And you can listen to that resignation sermon because it's online. And some of you still have it. But I was labeled the worst thing since Satan the devil because I did that. And I prayed to God, only had a few scriptures and some contemporary news available, that I would speak what he wanted me to speak. And when I came to Revelation 3, where it says, because you are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, I will spew you out of my mouth. And I warned that whole church. And it was God's warning. It wasn't me. I was just an instrumentality in doing it. And I said, unless there is repentance, unless there is a call of repentance down at their headquarters today, that the forces will be set in motion which will tear the church asunder. And it happened. But it took 15 years because God was merciful and kind. But it did happen. But what I'm reading here and what I'm saying here is not going to happen tomorrow. It is not going to happen in 6 months. Some of these things may be several years down the road. But it will, just like it happened to that church. The greatest church of God in the history of the churches of God was stripped of everything. And now the name of that church no longer even exists. Now some ministers still try and preach the man at the center of it. Listen, unless ministers preach Jesus Christ and repentance, it's futile. Do not follow a man. Follow the word of God and follow the ones who tell you to follow God, not the ones who say, follow me. When I first came to that church, we were told by that same so-called apostle on his radio program, don't believe me, believe your Bible. Get your Bible and take it off the shelf and you read it. Toward the end of it, he said, you believe me, don't believe what you read in the Bible. See, what happened to it? See, even those in the church of God are not exempt from the correction of God. So there needs to be repentance, see? So let's come to Isaiah, the first chapter. Now it's recorded in the heavens and in the earth. It's not just in the Bible. You burn every Bible in the world if you could. And that wouldn't take away the word of God, because the word of God is spiritual. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profits nothing. But because God is gracious and kind and merciful and wants as many to repent as will repent, he has sent his word. He has sent it in multiple venues if we could do it this way. Isaiah, the first chapter, okay? We now have it printed. We now have it audio. We now have it video. We have it on computers. We have it on cell phones, smartphones, whatever. So let's read it, Isaiah 1, verse 2. Give ear, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. What did Jesus say about the law? He said, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law. So you stand on the earth, that's a witness against you. You look up at the skies, that's a witness against you. For the Lord has spoken. I have reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. He says, you're worse than an ox. He knows his owner, and the donkey is master's crib, but Israel does not know me. My people do not understand because they are laden with sin. A sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One to anger, and have gone away backward after Satan, the devil, as if he's the greatest thing that has ever happened, and they are going to trash their lives into oblivion. God says, think about it. He asks a question. What are you doing? Where are you going? Verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? Have you had enough? Enough correction? You want more hurricanes? You want more tornadoes? You want more drought? You want more flood? You want more sickness? You want more disease? You want more strangers rising up over you? You want more heavy burden of debt? What is it that you want? You can't solve any of those things unless you turn to God. Isn't going to happen. You can send all the emails you want to Washington, D.C., the state government, the county government, the city government. They're all corrupt from head to toe. Maybe there are a few there trying to do some good things, but they haven't turned to God. They're only trying to do some things. I mean, we're down, getting down to critical points. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment. Now, there's one saving grace, and it's not because, and even with that, the churches of God, they need to get their acts together too. Because if you think the fall of that large church of God was the last thing to occur, you better be ready, because it's going to happen again. And if your idol is people and fellowship and you don't worship God, look out. It's coming. Need to understand. Verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. The only reason we're not obliterated is because of those who have the Spirit of God. That's the only reason. We would have been like Sodom. You know what happened to Sodom? Fried to a crisp. Burned to nothing. We would have become like Gomorrah. And remember, those two cities perished, but six other cities around them also perished. Because they saw what they were doing, and they knew it was wrong, but they tolerated it and put up with it. And now, because we have done nothing about the Sodomites and the Gomorrahites and the sexual perverts in our nation, they are now ruling over us. So God says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. Then he lists out all of their vain religious things that they are doing. Come over here to verse 15. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you make many prayers, this is without repentance, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. So here's God's solution. And you have to do this on an individual basis. You have to look at your life. You have to look at your situation. Don't look at someone else's. You look at yours. Don't accuse others. You examine what's in your mind. wash you, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Cut it off. That must start with the president, the Congress, the Supreme Court, all of the bureaucracies, all of the governors, all of the county commissioners, down to the city and village council, and all of the universities, and all of the high schools, and all of the middle schools, and all of the elementary schools. Stop your polluting of the minds of the children, and shut down every abortion clinic, and get rid of the murderous people like Gosnell that God says are worthy of death. That's what has to take place. Now, in the churches of God, God has a message for you. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And he says to you who are still playing church and still playing social patty cake, you better get serious with God. You better open the door of your mind, and you better let Christ in. Verse 17, learn to do good. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphan. Plead for the widow. Now, God gives a chance. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, provided there is deep and profound repentance with action. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. And notice the next word, that little two-letter word, if. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God will give a reprieve. But notice verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The word of God is true. The word of God must go out. And someone's going to say, well, Fred, why did you do such a thing? Let me answer you here. Come to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Here's why. God commands us to do it. God commands his servants everywhere to do this. Cry aloud and spare not. No political considerations. No looking to tender little emotional feelings. So if there are any upset out there and your emotions are all askew because of what I've said, then what are you going to do when they're slaughtering people before your eyes? Because it will happen. Lift up your voice like a ram's horn. Now, have you ever heard a ram's horn? That's one of the most irritating sounds in the world. So if what I've said is irritating to you, you better go to God and start repenting. And show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and seem eager to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and one that did not forget the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They seem eager to draw nearer to God. No, they're not willing to repent. Just turn a page back to Isaiah 55. Here's what God says, verse 6. This is what we need to do. You know your sins. You know the Ten Commandments. You know what they are. Here's what God says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And don't get yourself into the position that God told Jeremiah concerning the children of Judah when they wouldn't repent. God said, don't pray for these people for their good, because I will not hear you. Are we going to come to that point? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. That's what repentance is. Stop going your way and turn and go God's way. And he will have mercy upon him. You want God's mercy and forgiveness? God lays it out there for you. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What are you going to do? You start getting into the Word of God. We have a lot of things to help you. So we'll help you all we can. But you have to do something. Here's why. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God wants you to repent. That's what he desires. After you do that, then you have to follow through and obey God. Then you have to follow through and put your past life behind you. And you can't do that unless you are baptized. See? Mirror to Acts 2 and verse 38. Here Peter on the day of Pentecost was giving a powerful sermon to the very ones who stood there and shouted to Pilate concerning Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. And yet Jesus, the very last words he said when he was dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So here, 54 days later, on the day of Pentecost, here's what Peter said to them. He said, you have killed Christ. And after that, verse 37, the verse above, now after hearing this, they were cut to the heart. What's it going to take to cut you to the heart? What is it going to take to bring you to repentance? What is it going to take for you to quit blaming someone else for your faults and problems and difficulties and go to a quiet, private place and pour your heart out to God to repent of all your evil and vile sins that you know are lodged in your mind? What's it going to take? Peter said to them, yes. Then they said to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you need more than anything else. You need to know where God is, that God is in your life, that you're going to love him and keep his commandments, and that you receive the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only thing that can change you. That's the only thing that can wipe these things out. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God may call. And that's where we are today. Now, this is not an altar call. This is a call for you to seek God, and he will answer you. This is a call to repentance. This is a call to turn your life around, regardless of where you are, what you are doing, who you are, and that you will seek God with all your heart, mind, soul, and being. And we can help you with whatever you need. So that's the state of where we are today. May God give you wisdom and understanding and the choice to do what is right. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.